You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon or good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we've got some things that we definitely want to talk to you about. But first, let me let you know that Zaylor is going to be a little bit tardy today, but he will be cutting in later for all those Zaylor fans out there. Jamal, say hello to everybody.
Hey, I hope he's docking his pay.
Hey, remember, this is being recorded, Jamal.
Hello and happy Sunday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, it's more than just a happy Sunday. If I'm not mistaken, today is also Palm Sunday for those of you that practice out there, in terms of the Catholics out there. Happy Palm Sunday. And I believe next week is Easter Sunday as well. So
that means we got one more week for Filet-O-Fish Fridays at McDonald's.
Well, and yeah, well, you got that part right. Hey, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about surviving an active shooter event. With everything that's going on right now, I thought it was really very, very important. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback with people making requests. We got a lot of emails about it. Today, we're not going to do the usual email read because there is some information here that really takes priority, in my opinion. So we'll be doing that. But one thing that we want to start off with would be a person that wrote in last week during the show. And I completely missed the person's comments on the air because I like to do the comments on the air. So first, let's start out with some housekeeping things. Anybody that wants to call in, the number is on the screen. We always welcome callers. But besides that, we get emails, we get text messages, and then we have call-ins also, although we get more of the others than we do with the call-ins. People are really shy. At any rate, if you want to email us a question during the show, email it to listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. That's listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. For those of you who want to get on our weekly email blast, let you know what the upcoming topics are, text Potts Associates. That's text Potts Associates and text that to 22828. That's 22828 and enter your email address and then you'll get the topics for the upcoming shows. I also want to mention, for those of you, I have Twitter followers. For those of you that want to follow me on Twitter, it's important because I will be giving updates on Twitter, and that's Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. All right, so that's Jim Potts at Jim Potts Author. And the Facebook comments are important, so anybody on the Facebook side, we're looking for that as well. Okay, so having said all of that, we're going to get started, but before we jump into this, Jamal, do you have anybody on blast for this week?
Yes, sir. I got a couple people on blast. One person on blast that I'm putting, a man recently goes to San Diego Zoo recently. I'm not sure how recent it was, but it was very recent. He goes into the elephant enclosure with his two-year-old child because he wanted to take a picture with the elephant bull, a bull elephant. Well, the bull elephant charged at him. The guy runs out of the enclosure and drops his two-year-old child on his way to escape. Now he did go back and get the child, but you know nobody was hurt. But this is one of those incidents, those things where these people start doing things like this, and then they want to sue the zoo for not keeping the animal safe and the people completely safe. I mean, this guy was idiotic.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. To put his two-year-old in harm's way. The other one, this is...
Well, you know what can happen, Jamal? If that's obviously out there, he could get picked up for child endangerment.
Yeah, as he should.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. What was the next one?
And the last one is for the rapper, Lil Nas X. Do you remember that Lil Nas X, he did it was a very famous Country Town Road song that he did.
Yeah, you'll have to excuse me, Jamal. He's not one of the ones on my, But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, he teamed up with Nike to release a shoe called Satan that's going to have the pentagram on there. And it will also have a drop of human blood in the sole of the shoe.
Really?
And he teamed up with Nike. They're only going to sell 666 pairs of these shoes.
666.
Right. And they're going to be sold for $1,018 each.
I hope they don't sell one. That's ridiculous. I don't know what Nike's thinking about, but whatever the case may be. I mean, I'd put Nike on blast for that.
Yeah, I do. I put both Lil Nas X and Nike on blast for that, because that is ridiculous. That's sick. And he has a lot of kids that follow him.
Mm. Anyway, we're going to get moving on the other the topic. But before we do that, last week a person sent in some comments that I completely missed, because we do get a lot of comments. But this person wrote in that she was concerned. She's Caucasian. She's concerned that, you know, nobody, there's never any outcry when a white person is treated badly by the police. And she's upset about that. She feels that everybody should get the same kind of media attention. And she feels that that's not what the media does. Now, the case that she's talking about in particular, because she quoted a situation, and it's about a gentleman by the name of Kelly Thomas. Now, some of you may remember that Kelly Thomas was a homeless person in Fullerton, California, and he was actually beat up 9 minutes on video with these cops, you know, down in Fullerton, that beat this guy to the point where he was unconscious, and then he died 5 days later in the hospital. Now, according to the person, you know, that was writing in, you know, she seemed to be concerned that there's no media coverage. Well, we did our research, so, and I think that's what's important. So let me just tell you this. First of all, we don't condone any of that kind of behavior. I don't care what color they are. Police brutality, you know, should always be called into question. The problem with this one was, is that in 2014, the jury found the officers not guilty of second degree murder and voluntary manslaughter. The rationale, and they only deliberated for 2 days, by the way. The reason for that verdict, they say, was because of the fact that the police officers weren't trained in hand. Oh, he was mentally, mentally disabled. He had issues as well. So he was homeless, and he also had a mental disability. So you put all that together. Now, here's the situation. The jury turned around and found him not guilty. The defense argued that that the police had followed all of their training rules, you know, et cetera, policies and procedures. And the jury bought the story and he got off. Now, after he got off, there was a public outcry. So the person that wrote in said there was no public outcry, basically, but there was. The public outcry was a national outcry about how police officers need to be trained. The FBI did get involved in this. So just to let you know, you know, there was some repercussions from it. Jamal, I think you wanted to weigh in on an issue on this too.
No, I definitely wanted to weigh in on it. I think there's been a couple of incidents when white people were the victim of police brutality. There was that incident that happened in Arizona where a homeless guy, he was up in the mountain range area, and as he was walking away, I think he showed a knife or something like that, but he was walking away from sheriff's deputies, and they gunned him down with assault rifles. That was just totally wrong. And there was another incident where a white kid was shot in a hotel area, I think in the hallway, and he was actually pleading for his life before he was shot and killed. The officer wanted him to comply, but the messages that he was relaying was very confusing. And he made one false mistake, and they killed him with the AR-15 rifle in the hallway of a hotel. And on the side of his rifle, that officer had the words, "You're effed," but of course spelled all the way out on the side of that rifle, and he got off. You can't get upset. I understand completely, because I think, in all fairness to your argument, I really believe if movements like Black Lives Matter is against police brutality in general as a whole, that I really feel like they should rally behind those incidents as well, and because it would make their argument more legit that it's just not about Black people, it's about police brutality overall to make changes. And I think those things are very important. So, you know, but you can't be mad at a group if you guys don't rally behind them as well. And those things are important to really call those things out loud.
You know, the issue is, the difference is that African-Americans have been, you know, rioting, calling this out for years. But I'll tell you Caucasian, and there were Caucasians who, you know, they were marching with Black Lives Matter and you know, all these other situations. But look, here's the deal. Who do I really fault? The media. The media will blast it all over the place when it's a when it's a Black person, okay? But when it's a Caucasian, you hardly hear anything. I've talked about it on the show before, that when if a Caucasian police officer shoots a Caucasian citizen, you don't hear anything. If a Black police officer shoots a Black citizen, you don't hear anything. But if a Caucasian police officer shoots a Black citizen, it's plastered all over the place, because that's what the media wants. If it bleeds, it reads. And that's really the bottom line. Final thought, Jamal.
In these cases, I mean, the way I learned about these incidents that I just named and the ones you just named was it was through the media. I saw it on the news. So I don't know if you could blame the media, because the media did report it. I think in the media, they're all about ratings also. So it's whoever make the noise continuously.
Right. Jamal, I fully agree with that. Yeah. On the news, okay, those things will be on the news.
Right.
The difference is, let's face it, the media will keep a Black person being shot on the news for 3 weeks. Okay, white person gets shot on the news. Come on, it might be, oh, yeah, such and such and such. I mean, there is a big difference, to make a long story short. We could actually debate this issue all day long, in all honesty, all right?
Right.
But I wanted to address the concerns of the other person, and I'm gonna move on at this point. What we want to talk about today is how to survive an active shooter event. Now, I actually had some people I had trained. I've trained over 30,000 people in active shooter training. I've spoken in front of political groups, political associations. I was a certified terrorist investigator with the LA County Sheriff's Department. I was with the department almost 20 years. I was a reserve and I was a captain. This business about the, you know, active shooters, it's going to keep coming, folks. So we need to get ready for this. It's going to be the bottom line. So we're going to be talking about these things. I'm going to encourage you to take notes. But more importantly, I want you to understand, remember what we talk about today. That's what's critical. Some people I had trained were at the Las Vegas shooting, all right, a couple of years ago. People that I had trained, they called me after that and said that the reason why they survived that incident was because they followed some of the tips that we gave them as well. Now, I don't know if we can get to all of this today, because there are different tips for different situations. So if need be, I will continue this next week if we don't follow up or get it all done today. If we don't get it all done today as well, I want to encourage you. I wrote a book called, you can see it on the screen here. I'm going to try and tilt it a little bit so you can get the glare out of there. Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips. Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips. This book is on Amazon. I had it modestly priced for a reason, all right, because I want people to get this book. It's got all kinds of different safety tips on there. Women when they're alone, what to do, how to handle themselves, blah, 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 blah. It's all in here as an example, okay? And it's on Amazon. It's only right now, I think it's only like $4 or something like that. So it's really modestly priced, all right? So I would encourage you to get this, all right? So Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips, look for it on Amazon. All right, under James William Potts. All right, now, let's get into this. The first thing I want you to understand is that awareness is no longer the key to security. Awareness is the key to survival. You've got to understand that you've got to be paying attention to your surroundings. And I'm not talking about trying to make you paranoid. All right, I'm not looking for paranoia here. I'm looking for you just to simply be aware of your surroundings. That is critical. All right, because you will see things that you didn't see before. All right, so I want you to understand that. Awareness, key to survival. Now, it's not about getting ready. It's about being ready. The reality is that these things could happen to you. I can't tell you how many times that I have read where people have said, I didn't think it could happen here. Boulder, Colorado, just last week, the people were saying, we never thought that it could happen here. And it can happen there, because there's people all over the country. Some of them have mental issues. Some of them don't have mental issues. Some of them have issues, etc. You never know which direction is coming from. Now, look, there's a difference between active shooters at work and also active shooters in the general public. All right. I'm going to focus this week mainly in general. Okay. With these tips, and probably next week, I'm probably going to try to focus more on a work environment, but some of the things that we say this week will, in fact, go for both areas. All right. So just to let you know that, I've got a text message here. Let's see. Okay. Just a note the person's making. You'll have shootings on local news. It's the national. It's the national networks to blow up the information, Jamal. I guess going back to what we were just talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Local news versus national news. And that, that's a very good point, actually.
That is a good point.
All right. So what we want you to do is be aware. We want you to be vigilant, and we want you to be safe. Listen, I want you to remember these other words. I want you to be a reluctant victim. Be a reluctant victim. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later on into this. But just remember those words, be a reluctant victim. The other thing I want you to understand is that why people get hurt. People get hurt because they panic. They panic. The shots are going off. They're not prepared. They don't know what to do because they haven't thought out these things beforehand. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And unfortunately, in the direction things are going, now that this pandemic is over, you are going to see copycats. People are going to start thinking again. And that's why we've had 7 of these shootings within the last week and a half. Things are starting to open up. So I want you to think about these things beforehand, all right? Think about these things beforehand, and that's what's going to help you, all right? So I want you to have not a panic reaction. I want you to be able to have a reflex reaction. If you listen to the tips I'm going to give you, that we're going to give you today, if something happens, you're not going to have to think twice about what you're going to do. You will be prepared for it. You'll automatically know what to do, all right? So just remember, panic reaction versus reflex reaction. When people panic, they all just start running. You might want to turn around and start running with the people. That may not be the smartest thing to do, and we'll cover that a little bit later as well. But it's critical for you to understand the difference. And I know people tell me all the time, well, Jim, you know, bullets start flying. Yeah, people are going to panic. Well, remember what I told you about the people in Las Vegas. They didn't panic, the ones that I had trained. They remembered what I had told them. And when they got to that event, they were already set up to be prepared that if something happened, what they were going to do. And that's the way you have to think about it right now when you're out in society. I hate to say it. And now, look at all the guns being bought.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Jamal.
I want to reinforce what you just said because I remember there was two situations after that terrible Las Vegas incident that happened. One, you had already started your program about shootings like this. And I remember you got two emails. One email that you got was saying like, man, I had just took your class a week before, 2 weeks before that incident happened. And they said that it kicked in right away. Another client wrote in because you were still sending those out to clients and stuff like that about trainings and stuff like that. And somebody had thought you was doing that too soon and trying to make a profit off of the terrible incident that just happened. And you had to let them know, like, no, I just got multiple emails saying that this really helped them out, that they was actually in Vegas when that incident happened, and it actually helped them survive that moment. I remember seeing those emails. So I just want to reemphasize that, how much it meant to people who survived that moment.
Listen, this is not about profit. I'm doing this today, giving these tips on the air for free. All right. To me, this is all about, and look what I'm selling the book for. It's like, it's $3 or $4, whatever it is. All right. Don't think I'm making some multitude of money off of that because I'm not. I'm interested in being able to help the general public with some of this because quite frankly, I don't think the government's doing enough in this area. I really honestly don't. Now I will tell you that, hey, welcome Zeller. Hey. I will tell you that the law enforcement agencies across the country now have geared up, okay, to be able to address these kind of issues. They, you know, the training that they're having right now, anytime there's an active shooter, the response time, most people don't realize what the response time is, but I'm going to tell you the average response time is between 12 and 15 minutes. Now, people tell me all the time, well, 12 to 15 minutes, that seems like a very long time. Listen, remember something. They have to be able to coordinate. If I'm on patrol and I'm passing by a store and somebody says there's an active shooter in that store, my training is that we set up a command post, we do these things, the other people respond very quickly, we get the information, and we go in. I get it. The officer the other day, He didn't wait. I don't know what his training was, but I'm not going to fault him. He felt that he needed to go in at the time that he did, and unfortunately, he ended up being shot and killed. It leaves seven children behind. I'm talking about the one in Boulder. Yep. All right? But as a police officer, he did what he thought was right. So that's okay. You know, this will be wait, as opposed to the person that was in the school situation where the guard police officer was outside in Florida. And then they got upset with him because they said he didn't go in. Look, let me tell you, for me personally, if that's me, there's a school shooting inside, inside, I'm going inside because there's kids inside, period. There's nothing for me even to think about. So everybody makes that determination. Now, do we have standardized training for these things? The answer is yes. Are there variables to this? The answer is yes. Okay. So I'm not going to fault either one of these two individuals for the way that they handle it, because quite frankly, in these situations, you're not sure what's ever going to happen. And it's going to be a tough call.
I'm glad you said that, because unfortunately, you know, a lot of people consider that man a coward for not going into the school shooting. You know what I mean? And I thought that was kind of wrong of them to do that. If they had a procedure in place, he didn't want to panic and he followed the procedure that they had. Like, would some of us have gone in there? Probably so. You know what I mean? But he has a family to get home to also.
And that's what it is, guys. Every time when we go out on patrol, before we go out, we all say the same thing. Hey, we're all going home today. Okay? I mean, it gets tough. I know the police, you know, they're under the gun right now. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of good ones out there also. And it's these few bad ones that kind of mess it up for everybody else in terms of how people view law enforcement. But the other question I always get is, exactly what is an active shooter? All right, because there's different definitions. So I'm going to read you the textbook definition just to make sure that I do not mess that up for you. So it's what it is. An active shooter is an individual actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a confined and populated area, typically through the use of firearms. Now, look, we understand that a lot of people are out there buying guns and things of that nature, but there's a couple of things here. You know, right now, politically speaking, you know, the Senate and the House are now considering, and even President Biden wants to come back to the issue of addressing, you know, the assault weapons. Let me tell you something. If you simply Google the, you know, what guns are used most often, all right, with these active shooter situations, guys, they are not the assault rifles. I'm not saying that we haven't had some incidents, but if you Google it, you will see that it's more towards the handgun than it is towards an assault weapon. The assault weapons are just more deadly because they can kill more people, such as the situation in San Bernardino a few years back, as well as the Pulse nightclub down in Florida. All right. So an assault rifle can make a big difference with these crowds. And we'll talk about, you know, the issue with crowds and being in crowds and what to do and things of that nature as well. All right. So I just want you to understand panic reaction versus reflex reaction. So we're going to go through some things right now. And, you know, hopefully you're going to remember these things. And let me emphasize that this show and all the shows are actually taped. So you can always go back and listen and, you know, and get some of this information. If you can't write these things down now, you can do that. It's not a problem. All right. Just go back and listen to the show, or encourage others to listen to the show as well. Now, the first thing that we want you to understand, all right, is that the most law enforcement agencies, you know, the somebody just texted in, guys, that your online book now is only $2.76. That's what I'm saying. It's only $3 or $4, you know, to get that. And it's going to have a lot of information in there. Okay. Now, let's go back, okay, and talk about what you're normally going to see, the buzzwords from other people that are doing trainings in the area of active shooter training, or law enforcement will say. Law enforcement will always say run, hide, fight. Those are the three words, okay, that people should follow, all right? Run, hide, fight, all right? In that order, all right? Now, we're going to talk about each one of those things, and then time permitting, we're also going to talk about different scenarios, what to do if you're at the mall, what to do if you're, you know, on the street and something happens, et cetera. We'll get into some of that as well. And again, if we don't get a chance to finish this week with some of the safety tips, we will follow up next week as well. Okay. So on the first one, Jamal, you have anything on the run aspects of it? Or you want me just to keep going?
No, just keep going. You're doing good.
Okay. All right. So on the run part, look, first of all, here's what I want you to understand about the run. Anytime shots are fired, people automatically take off running. You may not know what you're running towards. That's why I say panic reaction versus reflex reaction. You got to take that split second to know what direction that the shots are coming from. Don't make an assumption that the crowd is running away from the shots. It may not necessarily be that way. You know, you're in a closed building, you're in an office building, you're in an office scenario. Those echoes could sound, and you may not know. You could end up running into the situation. All right? So be careful with that. All right? So that's what I want to tell you. Running is just not all about running. You take a moment. They're panicking and running. Step back. Let them run. All right? Because you never know what they're running towards. All right? And don't make assumptions on that. Just take that split second. I can't stress that enough. Here's the other issue. All right? When you're running. You should always be familiar with your surroundings. So if you're running, you should be running towards something, as an example. Let me use a mall as an example, because active shooters are now becoming commonplace at some of the malls, for those of you that haven't heard about this. So first of all, if it's a mall that you visit all the time, as an example, all right, know where your spots are, period. All right, you go to the mall, know where your exits are, know where your restrooms are. I'll explain later about the restrooms, why restrooms. Guys, don't let me forget to talk about door stoppers also, okay? I don't want to forget about the door stoppers. But anyway, so you're at the mall, and you hear pow, pow, pow. Everybody's going to start running. First of all, if you're in the middle of that crowd running, and you've got elderly people with you or small children, the problem is you're going to get trampled. The elderly people are going to get trampled because that's what people do because they're in a panic mode, all right? But more importantly, active shooters will shoot into the crowd. What they're trying to do is shoot as many people as possible, which is what the bolder person did, all right? They shoot into the crowd because they know they're going to hit somebody. So the first thing I would tell you is don't run with the crowd. They don't care about you off to the side as a single person. They want to shoot where the mass of the people are, so keep that in mind. The second thing is if you're at the mall, understand something else. You're running towards that exit down there by JCPenney's or down there by Macy's because you're running toward the exit that you came in, all right? That's not your closest exit. So here you are running down this big corridor with all of these people, all right? When in fact, all of those stores that you're running past, they all have exits at the rear of the stores. That's how they get their deliveries for their product. If you duck into one of those stores, they're going to be locking the stores down. The salespeople at these malls now are being trained that when there's an active shooter, they're locking down their doors. If you're on the outside of that running flow, all you got to do is duck into one of those stores. They lock it down. You're inside. You could go out the rear exit. Very simple. But you got to know this beforehand. Know where your exits are beforehand, not just those main store exits that you came into. All right? Restrooms can be a safe haven as well. All right? So keep that in mind if you're at the mall. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, let me add to that. The safest thing may not be because people want to get to their cars as soon as possible. You got to remember, man, especially if you got elderly people or cars or children, people going to be driving crazy trying to get out of there. So that might be the safest, not the safest place to go to immediately. But you want to get out the building and grab cover. But don't just try to get to your car right away because, you know, you might end up getting ran over.
And not only that, think about the chaos of all those cars trying to get out of the parking lot. You would just do better. Right. Well, just flee. Just yeah. Go. You could go back and get your car. All right. That just makes common sense. Okay. So you should always try to figure out where the shots are coming from, all right? And don't necessarily run with the herd. The other thing is if you're going to run, zigzag. Don't run straight. Make yourself a harder target. Zigzag, all right? The other thing that's smart to do when you're running, run from cover to cover. Run from cover to cover, all right? So somebody else just typed in and said, my kids were in Vegas and they ran. Okay. But they got out of there. So that was the bottom line. They survived, right. Obviously, you know, and that's true. All right. So look, these tips, okay, are general tips. None of these are guarantees. And again, if people are going to panic, I know this person that just texted this in to say that, you know, that her kids ran. They didn't take my training, but that's okay. All right, zigzag. So even if you're not telling people
not, you're not telling people not to run, is be aware of where you're running to.
Yes, be smart about the run. Right. No doubt about it. Be smart about the run. All right. So, but getting back to it, so run from cover to cover. Don't just run in a straight line, guys. So if you're at the mall, run behind a pillar. Run to the next pillar. Get behind the pillar. Whatever you have to do. If you're outside and there's a shooter outside, it's the same thing. It's a zigzag pattern. Run from cover to cover. Don't just run straight. All right? Because then that gives them an opportunity.
Remember, I believe it was the Columbine shooting. They were set up to where they was going to shoot at everybody that was running out of the building.
Right.
They actually set it up to ambush the crowd coming out of the building.
And let me tell you something. With some of those, the way that it worked, because we actually did that on a show a couple of years ago to talk about Columbine. And first of all, on the Columbine shooting, you know, those guys, let me tell you something. They were saying that these guys did that because they were bullying. I've read all of the stuff on that, and that is not what happened. These guys were the bullies. And here's what they did. They also, with some of these schools, they'll set off the fire alarm.
Right.
Fire alarm goes off. Everybody starts flooding outside. So what they're doing is bringing everybody to them. It's like at a hotel. Let me tell you what the terrorists have done at hotels. Terrorists will go in and then they'll read the evacuation plan on the hotel room door. All right. You'll read the hotel room door evacuation plan. The terrorists will then set off a small fire in the trash can. The smoke goes up, sets off the fire alarm. Everybody looks at the evacuation plan and it says go to the southeast corner of the parking lot. So what happens? The alarm goes off. Everybody looks at the evacuation plan. And everybody runs to the southeast corner of the parking lot. The terrorists know is what they're doing is drawing you to a particular location. And at that location, that's where they have their explosive device. Now they've got everybody clustered together. Boom, it goes off. This is a pattern they've already established with hotels. I could tell you that if my wife and I are at a hotel and that alarm goes off, I am not going to the southeast corner of the parking lot. All right? We're going to go in the opposite direction. The hotel wants you to go there because they want to do a head count to make sure everybody got out. I'll call them later on and say, hey, we're fine. All right. So that's what they've done at the hotel. So you got to be careful with that as well. And that's on the national and international fronts, you know, as well. So you could have the same thing in an office building and something happens like that. I remember we did an assessment, a security assessment for one business. And when we got there, in the parking lot, they had by alphabet where everybody in this building was supposed to go. So they had all the A's through J's right here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me just tell you something. Domestic violence is a part of this also. All right. So if the domestic violence person is trying to get to the person, let's say their last name starts with P, they call in a bomb scare, that person is going to be drawn right to that alphabet. They're going to know exactly where to get that person. So look. Those kind of things for people out there that have those kind of tags and things of that nature. Look, that may not always be the best thing to do. Zayla, do you have anything that you want to add to any of this so far? I don't mean to ignore you.
No. You're good. You're good.
Okay, cool. All right. I don't want to ignore anybody. Okay. Now let's talk about hiding. So what did I tell you already? Run, hide, fight. All right. Now, when we start talking about hiding, there's a lot of things that people don't understand about hiding. Hiding can be something where you're not going to be visible to the person. But you have to know these things beforehand, like I keep emphasizing, all right? Awareness about your environment. Where would I go if something happens, all right? So arguably, let's just say that you are at work, okay? Or you're at the mall, wherever. You're going to know where you're going to hide already because you've already done your assessment, all right? Now, with kids, go through the little training with kids. I don't say to make them paranoid. Do this a game if you have to. Oh, if something, you know, if we had to do something, this is where we would go. All right. Because why, mommy? Why, mommy? Oh, you know, we're just playing a little game. All right. So do that even with the kids. All right. Now, let's say that you're in a work environment as an example. All right. And now there's an active shooter. A lot of the active shooters, business related, there, let's see, what's the number now? 47%. Of active shooter situations are work-related. Think about what happened at the massage parlor. That's work-related, people. What happened in Boulder, Colorado? That's work-related. to the general public, it's not, but to the people working there, it is. And the young lady that was there, that was the manager, she got killed. That was a work-related situation for them. All right, so now, look, so you're at work, all right, and you hear that pow, pow, pow. You don't know, and you're in your office. You don't know where it's coming from. So let's say that you decide that you're going to have to hide out. So if you're going to hide out, and don't necessarily run to an elevator, by the way. Some people want to jump on an elevator. You know, that door could swing open, and that could be the shooter on the elevator. So I would say stay away from the elevators for one thing, all right? And if you're, on a multi-story building, you know, you can hit the, you know, the stairways and start heading down, but just watch what you're doing as you're going down. But anyway, so you're in a situation where you have, you've heard the shots. You're not sure where the shots are coming from. You can always hide, all right? Run, hide, okay? So here's the hide. So you're in your office. The first thing to do is to silence your cell phone, because if you're in there hiding and you got your cell phone on, all right, you're getting calls, it's going to ring. They're going to know you're in there. The other thing is, don't be in there screaming and hollering, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. They're going to hear you, all right? So hold on to yourself. That's why I tell people, don't panic. Hold on to yourself. So you're in your office. Close the door. If it locks, great, all right? If it doesn't lock, barricade the door. Now, I'm going to tell you something else here in a second. Barricade the door. Here's how you barricade the door. If you just push one chair against the door, that's not going to be sufficient. So it's what you do is stack barricading. So if you can, or the room that you're in or anybody's in, let's say that you put the desk against the door first. Now, okay, from that wall, from where the desk is, the door, let's say it's 10 feet or whatever the case may be. If you have any other tables in there, any other chairs to do, is what you do is stack it so that the person can't push the door open, because now they're pushing against the other wall. All right. So they won't be able to get in. All right. So that's how you do that. If you're not in that situation, one of the things that I've told people before, and this is up to the individual, there's no guarantee with this, but if you're in a situation where you cannot lock the door, first of all, you should always turn out the lights. All right. So get in there, leave the door partway open and get underneath the desk so that you're not visible. An active shooter, these active shooters, by the way, guys, they don't shoot locks off of doors and all of that. They don't have any time. I've already told you, you got 12 to 15 minutes, all right, at best before the law enforcement gets there. If the door is cracked, the lights are off, and they don't see anybody in there as they're passing by, they're going to think mentally there's nobody in there, because if somebody was in there, what would the door be, guys? Closed, all right? So you've got to make that call for yourself at that time if you think that that's what's best. If the door doesn't lock, then you feel that you're, and you feel that you're trapped. All right? So in a hide situation, avoid dead ends, guys. All right? Make sure beforehand you already know, okay, that this is a dead end. I'm trapped if this person comes into here. In your work environment, you're at the mall, you're wherever, always know the escape routes. And again, I'm emphasizing, we're not trying to make you paranoid. We're trying to make you prepared, because that's how you survive these things, all right, in a lot of cases. Now, keep your body away from the door. Keep quiet. I've already talked to you about that one, all right? And I want to see some other notes here that I may have here.
Also, I would recommend, like, if you have to hide, make sure you try to, if you can, get a heavy object in your hand, whether it be a stapler, whether it be an envelope open, whatever you could grab in case you're in a situation you have to fight.
Well, that's the situation we're getting ready to come up to now. We're going to start talking about fighting. But the other thing I want you to do while you're hiding, if you can, you call 911, all right, as best you can. But I don't want you screaming and shouting. The other thing I want you to do while you're hiding, you're calling 911, I want you to get a hold of yourself as best you can. If you are in a panic mode, the problem is that the dispatcher, all right, can't get the information if you're babbling and screaming and crying into the phone. It's going to take longer. So you got to get a hold of yourself for that minute or two to give them the information. And it doesn't have to be anything more than, you know, where the address of where you are, where the active shooter is, the environment where the active shooter is. They'll be asking you questions like, okay, what about how many shooters is it? Not sure. If you're not sure, you're not sure. If it's one, all right, then that's fine. Because you may hear one set of shots. You know, I believe it's only one person. And if you have that information, then they'll ask you for a description. You don't have to, be anything other than he's tall, he's short, he's white, he's black. You know, whatever the case may be, All right. And what he's wearing, blue shirt, you know, blue pants, camos, you know, wearing camos, or, you know, or he's wearing tan pants, whatever it is. They may ask you what kind of weapon. Just remember, they're not expecting you to say, well, I think it's a 38 Smith & Wesson. They're not looking for that. Just say big gun, little gun. They're going to know what the differences are, so don't worry about that, all right? But keep that composure. Force yourself for that minute or two to be able to give them the accurate information so they can get there quicker, all right? And that's all from a hidden position, all right? Okay. Now,
and Jim, don't people also have the ability to text in now to 911? Isn't that relatively new?
Yes.
I want to make sure you talk about that too.
Absolutely. Good point. Okay. People can text in now on 911 with these situations. Okay. So again, you got to get your composure. Your hand's going to be doing what? Shaking as you're trying to text. All right. So they're not going to be able to understand what the hell you're texting. All right. So just remember, good point, Zeller. All right. That you can actually text in on 911 now. All right. So to make it a little bit more convenient. Look, guys, we understand that these are scary situations. People point guns at people. People go into a panic mode. People point guns at police officers. I mean, I've had guns pointed at me when I was on patrol. But, you know, every officer doesn't react negatively. Okay, let's put it that way. We size up the situations and things of that nature. We look for certain things, you know, with the person, the hand on the gun, where the hand, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we don't expect the general public to be cool, calm, and collective in these situations. We get it, okay? Mistakes do get made, even with police officers. We had a shooting out here, out in Thousand Oaks, you guys might remember, about a year and a half ago. Two police officers arrived at the scene. It was one was from the California Highway Patrol, and the other one was from the local sheriff's department. The officers got killed. Who killed them? The other officer, by friendly fire, all right? Don't think that you, and that also brings up this business about CCWs. People always ask, I want to get my CCW. I want to get a gun. You know, so I'm in this situation or I'm at work. I can save people's lives. Look, guys, all right, don't think for a moment that in that environment, you're going to be able to carefully place some shot, okay, at somebody that is shooting. All you're going to do is draw fire to yourself from that person. Now, if you're trapped in a room and they come in, okay, and now you're shooting your rounds off, I mean, that's one thing. But don't think in a crowded room you're going to be cool, calm, and collective enough to be able to take out that perpetrator. You know, you don't have the training to do that.
Hey, I tell you this, man. That dude that did that shot at that church, he was a dead aim, man, because he dropped that dude from a good distance.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple of years ago. That's right. Yeah, the guy walked into a church.
But he trained, though. I think he might.
That's right. He trained. Well, that's right. He trained. Yeah. But because that's what they were there for. They were there for the security of the church. It was part of that team. And that's right. He dropped the guy with one shot. But that's what I'm saying. It takes that kind of training to be able to do that. But that's also not a crowd. He's walking in the back door. Okay, he's back there by himself, and he started shooting. He was a perfect target, quite frankly.
Right.
Okay, what I'm talking about is when the shooter's in the middle of the mass, so to speak, and it's starting to break out. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, now, so the other thing is what Jamal brought up, the third one. Remember what we said so far? Run, hide, fight. All right? The fight part. Remember what I told you earlier, be a reluctant victim, people. Be a reluctant victim. Fight for your lives. Don't just panic and press against the wall. If you panic and press against the wall, let me tell you something. If they're there to shoot and kill and you make it easy for them, end of story. End of story. So what you have to do is fight. You got to do, if you're in a barroom situation, as an example, you know, nightclub situation, whatever, look, pick up bottles, chairs, tables, throw it at the person. Do whatever you have to do. The work environment, Jamal was talking about, heavy-duty staplers. You guys are probably too young to remember when people were smoking. You know, they had these big old glass ashtrays. Big old glass ashtrays. They could do a lot of damage. Trust me when I tell you. Okay, you hurl one of those at somebody, they're going to be thinking twice, especially if they get hit in the head with it. Believe it or not, a can of Coke, a soda, any of those kind of things that you can throw. And again, this book on domestic terrorism safety tips, it's got a lot of those kind of things in there that you can use as well. I'm trying to turn it so you guys can see it again. But at any rate, there's a lot of those different things that you can have actually at work that you can throw at people and things of that nature as well. Also, work in a collective effort. You know, the plane that crashed in Philadelphia during 9-11, rather. What did they do? They said, let's go. It was a group of them that rushed. Now, they were on a plane. That was a lot different. You know, but they had a game plan. And let me tell you something. That's another thing you should do. at your work environment, you should encourage whoever's in charge, your manager, supervisor, business owner, whatever, to actually have some kind of training for you guys. Because these days, you're going to need that. All right? You're going to need that. So you need to reach out to them and have those kind of conversations with them. Now, so if you're at work, you're going to fight for your life. Fight, fight, fight. Whatever you got to do, fight. All right? Guy with a gun, he's pointing a gun at you. He's not going to think about you heading towards him. He's going to think you're going to run away from him. So sometimes you can surprise the person because they're not expecting you to run towards them. So just kind of keep that in mind. I'm not saying you'll be successful every time, but you never know. All right? And sometimes that's your best option because running away, all you're doing is making yourself an easy target. So look at it that way. Throw things, fight, fight for your life. Now, what happens when law enforcement arrives? When law enforcement arrives, that's a big issue also. So here's what I want you to do. When law enforcement arrives, I want you to get down on your knees, okay? If you're an older person, it's a little bit harder to do. Try to sit down or whatever you have to do, okay? And put your hands exactly like I'm showing you right now. Fingers spread apart, just like that. Fingers spread apart, front and back, so that the officers can see that you don't have a weapon in your hands. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to do is understand, don't be yelling and screaming. Calm down. Help has arrived. If you're yelling and screaming, the officers can't hear into their earpieces to know what the other officers are saying. They could be saying that the suspect has been subdued. They could be saying he's heading back in that direction. They need to be able to hear that. All right. So no yelling and screaming. Don't pull on the officers. All right. Keep your hands off of them. Understand something else. The officers are not there. They're not medics. They're not there to help you with your wounds. They're there to secure the person that created those wounds and to stop them from making wounds on other people, all right? The other thing is, once you're down, don't jump up in a panic mode and want to run out. If you do that, you could end up being, unfortunately, shot because they think that you're the perpetrator. So stay down until you get the directions from the officers. When the officers give you the directions, leave the premises as instructed by the officers. Don't stop and ask them for any questions. Don't turn around and say, you know, like the ladies, oh, I need to go back there and get my purse. Or we know about the guys with your man bags. Okay. Don't be going back. Get out. Okay. Follow the instructions from the officers. All right. That's what your job is. Now, don't panic. Panic reaction versus reflex reaction. All right, because I see the time is already buzzing by.
Hey, I got a question for you, Jamal. Before we get out. Those people with the CCW or security guards who might be on site or somebody could carry a weapon legally, lawfully, they were able to stop the perpetrator or they in the fight also. What do you recommend for them? Because there's been incidents where they was accidentally shot by law enforcement. Because the law enforcement had no idea who the actual perpetrator was.
Jamal, there have been cases where people with CCWs at a mall started trying to shoot up the place, trying to shoot the perpetrator, and they didn't know. Because why? He's not wearing anything on him that says, I'm not the perpetrator. Right, he has a gun. And that's you're bringing up a good point. The security guards have security written on their back shirt. Okay? Right. So if they're facing somebody, how do the law enforcement officers know? They don't know. So when it's time to get out, it's time to get out. Look, you guys, here's what I'm going to give you also. This is called, I don't know if you, this is an active shooter card, okay? This is something that if you send me your email address, just email me your address, this active shooter card can go in your purse or your wallet or whatever, all right? You can email me at the address that I gave you. Listen up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com, okay? And I'll send you this active shooter card to send you a few of them for your family and things. It kind of recaps some of the things that we talked about with the run, fight, and hide. Again, would encourage you to get this book. It's not that expensive. It's got a lot more things in there, you guys, in terms of the safety. All right, man, I'm telling you, time always goes by so fast. We have more we can talk about next week, and we will. So please tune back in next week, and we'll go into some more specifics. Jamal, Zaylor, hey, let's sign off.
Hey, everybody have a good week this week.
Everybody stay safe out there.
Everybody stay safe. Oh, you know what? Next week is Easter. Ah. Okay, you know what? We're still going to be on the air next week to do this probably, all right? So, or maybe we'll repeat this show. Matter of fact, you know what we're going to do? We'll probably repeat this show next week, and then the following week is when we'll come back live, all right? That's probably how we're going to do it since next Sunday is Easter. Okay, everybody. We appreciate the fact that you listened in today. I hope that we gave you some tips. My disclaimer is, hey, look, nothing is perfect. We try to give you some suggested courses of action, but the bottom line is you got to make that decision yourself at that time. So for right now, be aware, be vigilant, and be safe. Until next time, take care and be safe, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.